Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Everybody, welcome back to another edition of Bavarian Podcast Works. This is Chuck Smith, and I'm here with our own Jack Loshway to bring you the post-game show following Germany's crazy 2-0 victory over France. I know I'm shocked. Jack, how the hell are you? I know you're feeling good after that win for Germany.
Yeah, I'm feeling great. This is really, you know, that win we needed. You know, I was actually probably feeling dangerously optimistic heading into this game in the first place. But wow, I mean, what a result, and just what a game altogether, really.
Yeah, I mean, I was really stunned. I had predicted a 2-2 draw before the match, but I mean, the way Germany started, and we will get into that, plus the way that they rallied in the second half, I mean, it's more than anything probably a reason for German fans to have a little bit of belief after a period where I don't know that many people had much hope. Jack, is that the way you came out of this? I mean, did you come out of this game thinking, wow, there might be something here?
Yeah, I mean, I always, you know, try to be optimistic. But, you know, really after this game, I'm feeling in a much better place heading into, you know, the home tournament at Euro 2024. And it's one game, but really this is, I'd say, the first game with kind of the new invigorated squad with Kroos in there. So I was really interested to see kind of how it would work. And I mean, you can't complain with a 2-0 win over France, can you?
No. I mean, it's like, I'm probably one of these people who think France is the best team in the world at the moment in terms of international play. And, you know, Germany handled them pretty nicely. So let's jump into it as we always do on the post game show. We'll start with the starting lineup, and Julian Nagelsmann, it pretty much went as predicted, but there were a couple surprising selections if you look at the bigger picture here. So let's start with that. Marc-Andre Ter Stegen, of course, filling in at goalkeeper for Manuel Neuer. The center back combination was Jonathan Tah and Antonio Rudiger. We saw Joshua Kimmich and Maximilian Mittelstadt, who surprised me, had a very, I thought he handled himself really well out there for France. So, I mean, against France. So I was pretty pleased with the way he played. In the midfield, we saw Toni Kroos and Robert Andrich. And in the attack, we saw Jamal Musiala and Florian Wirtz playing in those wider half spaces, with Ilkay Gundogan at the 10 and Kai Havertz at the 9. Jack, a couple of the big choices Nagelsmann had to make. Let's start with one right at striker, Kai Havertz over Niklas Füllkrug. How do you think Havertz did in the match, and what did you think coming into it? Did you think Havertz deserved that spot in the starting 11?
You know what? I kind of saw, you know, the talks in recent days and was getting, you know, probably leaning more and more towards Havertz as the days went. And I've always been probably a believer in Havertz, even, you know, when I shouldn't have been. So I was actually, you know, excited to see Havertz. I know a lot of people were skeptical, although I don't think he was perfect. But ultimately, I actually was pleased to see him start over Füllkrug. Although, you know, Füllkrug, take nothing away from him, he's been great, scored, you know, virtually every game he started for Germany, and was probably our standout player at the World Cup 2022.
Yeah, I agree. And for Havertz, I have a weird relationship with Havertz. I really like him as a player. I think he has a lot of great traits, especially his physical attributes. I don't think it talked about enough. He's got great speed. He's got good skill. It just hasn't seemed to click for him in his career like I thought it would. So I was kind of hoping to see Füllkrug just because I think he's been more productive, as just as you said, and he just seems to be that prototypical kind of striker that I thought Germany needed. But Julian Nagelsmann clearly knows better than I do. One of the other spots that was really up for debate was at left back, where we saw Maximilian Mittelstadt get the start over Benjamin Heinrichs. Left back has been one of those positions that has been a thorn in the side of every Germany coach for what seems like forever now. I thought Mittelstadt did a really good job. And I, listen, for a guy who did not have the experience as some of the other players out there, I don't think he looked overwhelmed by the moment. What did you think of his play?
Yeah, I was one of those ones where I was willing to give Mittelstadt, you know, the start. You know, I'm not too passionate over, you know, Henrichs or Rahm, but I thought he did okay. I don't think I personally wouldn't have had him as highly rated as yourself. I know he had that scare there,
right?
In the dying minutes there, kind of hit him and then off his hand, almost causing a pen. Although it, as you said, it's his debut, and he's kind of his first time in the spotlight. He almost did score also, so credit to him there. Personally, my pick would be Rahm, but I think he did good enough to probably, you know, keep his place next game as well.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what Nagelsmann does there, because he does have options. Heinrichs is a player who Nagelsmann seems to like a little bit. David Rahm is, again, another one of these guys who I like his game in a lot of ways. I wish he was a little bit more committed to the defensive end of the pitch, but he does have a lot of talent and he can be very impactful. So that's a spot, I guess, that we'll all continue to monitor, just because Nagelsmann has options there. And it wouldn't shock me to see if he starts to experiment a little bit to see who might be the best fit in the 11. One other spot that was up for grabs was that other midfield role next to Toni Kroos. Robert Andrich got the call over Pascal Gross. Any thoughts on Andrich and how he played? I wasn't super impressed with him in this match. I don't think he was terrible or anything like that, but maybe not as impactful as I would have liked to see from someone at that position.
Yeah, you know what? I don't watch a ton of Brighton, so I didn't have too much say in Pascal Gross. I was happy to see Andrich get the start, not somebody who I'm, you know, dying to see play, but obviously Nagelsmann had him in some kind of play in mind. And I think it worked out well. And I know there was comments during the game of, you know, couldn't really notice him out there, but, you know, for a guy in that kind of position, I don't know if you need to, you know, see him making flashy plays, you know, every single play. So I thought he played okay. I would have liked if he, you know, he seemed a bit too eager to take those long shots, which personally, I'm not a big fan of. I'd rather try something else. But I think he has some learning to do. I know he's not a young player by any means. But you know, he's one of those players that we might see, you know, flexed out next match. And then maybe kind of return to a starting spot next window. But I wouldn't be surprised if we saw another, you know, player starting next game.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there definitely was a lot with that position where you're playing next to Toni Kroos. You've got all of this talent around you. It could have been overwhelming, even though Andrich has been very, very good this season with Leverkusen. It's one of those situations where you never know how someone's going to come out and how they're going to react in this environment. And I thought he handled himself well. Maybe I would have liked to seen a little bit more activity, a little bit less chances, like you said, going forward with those longer balls. But hey, it worked out in the end. Germany won the match 2-0. So let's take a walk through how things progressed over the course of the game. And as we know, Germany got started early, exactly, 7 seconds into the match when Toni Kroos lofted a ball into Florian Wirtz, who nobody at France really wanted to challenge him, probably because they did not want to get smoked and have Wirtz go right by them. So he had a lot of space to work with, and he ripped a laser 7 seconds into the match. Great look by Kroos. Florian Wirtz with just an excellent shot. Jack, what were you thinking at that point? What did you like about that Wirtz effort there?
I mean, it caught me off guard. You know, I just, you know, sat down getting ready for the game and just really caught me off guard. But I mean, what a way to start the game, and Florian Wirtz making an instant impact. And I mean, I don't have this on record, but was that his first goal? Because I'm not sure he's scored for Germany yet in his career.
No, I think you're right about that. I don't know off the top of my head, but I think you're right. One of the things that has marked Wirtz's play for Germany with me is he just has not been that impactful. So to see him get that involved early and to make that kind of play, it really set the tone, not just for the team, but for him. For whatever reason, it seems like he has been totally on point for Leverkusen, but with Germany, he was really struggling to find his way and acclimate to that team. And I don't know, in this match, I thought that was the perfect way for him to start. And it really did seem to set in a level of comfort for him where he was able to be that kind of impactful player for Germany. As we progressed through the rest of the first half, though, I felt like Germany lost a little bit of steam. France started to apply some pressure and take over. Did you have any worry with the way things were turning there in the first half?
Oh, I was extremely worried. I wouldn't say a little bit of steam. I thought we were getting, you know, borderline crushed there in the first half. I was worried we were going to concede one, but, you know, credit to the back line. Rudiger especially had an exceptional performance, really commanded that back line, really physical game. And yeah, I was really worried there in that first half, but, you know, Ter Stegen seemed to make the good saves. I don't think France took full advantage of their opportunities. There wasn't any saves where, you know, Ter Stegen really saved us. He made the right saves when needed, but the back line made some good stops when needed as well. But, you know, especially, you know, Kimmich there in that first half really was getting, you know, he was really struggling to keep up with Mbappe. So, I mean, I was, you know, a fan of having him in the right back position, but we were, you know, under trouble there for a long, long time in that first half there.
Yeah, and that's the problem with Mbappe. It's very hard for anyone to play him 1v1 or even be on assignment against him. So when you had Kimmich out there, where obviously Kimmich is not as fast as Mbappe, and Mbappe's just trouble for everyone. You needed that extra support, and I feel like maybe at the beginning of the match, Nagelsmann was trusting Kimmich a little bit too much to try and put Mbappe in his pocket, and that just clearly wasn't going to happen. It gave France some life. So heading into halftime, I know I was a little bit worried about things, but again, Germany struck early, 49th minute. Jamal Musiala makes a spectacular diagonal run. To be honest, I don't recall who made that pass into Musiala. He played it down really nicely, took his touch in, then was able to cut it back and find a streaking Kai Havertz who made good. Unfortunately for Bayern Munich's Dayo Upamecano, it looked like Havertz had a step or two on him, and it was a very easy finish for Havertz. Set the tone again for the second half because Germany really played strongly after that. Havertz got his goal. I think it really picked up a really iffy first half performance from him. To me, it saved his match in a lot of ways. But again, Germany up 2-0. What did you think of Musiala's play on that, Jack? Because I thought he was excellent. I thought it was the exact kind of run that was needed at the moment. And he, as he does so often for Bayern Munich, he just created havoc for France and they just couldn't keep a handle on him.
Oh, absolutely. I thought he was excellent and, you know, created that perfect chance there for Havertz, who hadn't at that point, you know, done much to himself. And really, as you said, Florian Wirtz had a great performance, but really, I think it was, you know, Musiala that really made the things happen in that second half and really allowed us to take control of this game. So, I mean, I really think he was one who inspired this. And if we don't get that second goal, you know, I'm not sure how we come out in that second half. It really seemed to take away France's mentality, really, you know, quieted the stadium down, which was pretty strong atmosphere until that point. So, you know, I don't think we can, you know, praise that, you know, that performance from Musiala enough. I really did think he inspired that win. And
yeah, absolutely. And at that point, France, to me, seeded a little bit. And I think they realized, like, okay, they're down 2-0. Now it's time to get some work for some other players. They had a quartet of subs in the 61st minute. And to me, Germany just took over at that point. France started to unravel a little bit. And then this really evolved into such a strong performance for Germany. We saw Nagelsmann start to go to his bench in the 72nd minute. We saw Chris Furyk come on for Florian Wirtz and Thomas Muller come on for Ilkay Gundogan. I wasn't all that impressed with Gundogan today. I'm going to be honest. I use the word impactful a lot because that's really what I'm looking for when I'm watching. Didn't love Gundogan playing there at the 10. I'm not going to say he was bad by any means, but I just didn't see what I wanted to see out of Gundogan as a veteran player in this format. How would you rate him on the day?
You know, I thought he had a pretty much bang average performance.
Right.
I think he did what he needed to do, but, you know, I don't really call myself ever wowed by his, right, by his plays. I don't, you know, we didn't really create too much. I mean, he didn't score, but of course, I don't think he had too many chances himself. So I really thought I was impressed by the midfield, but I think that really came from Kroos and a little bit from Andrić. So he wasn't that noticeable. And, you know, in the 10 spot, you want to be somebody who, you know, is making things happen, is probably having some fat flashy plays, or if not flashy, at least just doing it, you know, simple passes, clean passes. So I wasn't really too impressed by Gundogan, but of course, there's going to be debate of, you know, he has to play because he's the captain. So, I mean, that's a whole other discussion. But yeah, I wasn't wowed by Gundogan today.
Yeah, that's sort of how I always feel after watching him play. In the 80th minute, Nagelsmann again went to his bench. Nicholas Füllkrug came in for Jamal Musiala. Denis Undorf came in for Kai Havertz. And again, at that point, Germany's firmly in control. They still kept going. France was able to mount some bit of an attack toward the end and force things on Germany a little bit just to test the Germans. But Germany handled themselves really well. Waldemar Anton came in for Toni Kroos there in the 90th minute. And that's how the game would end. 2-0 Germany. Again, surprising victory, an impressive victory nonetheless. I was very happy with what I saw. There was a lot of good to take away from this. I know when I look at the end result, that's the most important thing, obviously. But to see that the team was able to put together some really nice attacking sequences, that they didn't have massive defensive breakdowns, and that they actually started to play well in the midfield. To me, while it was not all perfect, these were things that were necessary, things that I needed to see. And it was a step in the right direction more than anything. Jack, overall, how do you feel coming out of this? What did you like coming out of the game? And is there anything that you might be concerned about?
I mean, I feel great. You know, beating France, you can never be too harsh. But, you know, it's one of those games where I know there's going to be some headlines on, you know, Germany beating France. It was one of those games where, you know, I was, you know, crying because we didn't get that third or fourth goal. It would have been, you know, just a nice little touch. But really, the end of the day, we got the result. We got what we needed. Hoping we bring kind of this energy moving forward. I think a win against Netherlands would really solidify us, you know, maybe give some more confidence ahead of the next games. But I really do think this is a step in the right direction. You know, it is, I believe France's only loss in 2023 was against us. And their only other loss since that, you know, that final loss against Argentina is now, of course, to us as well. So I think that says something that we can beat, you know, maybe the best team in the world. I think that could be a nice play potentially in the quarterfinals, semifinals, if we do come into France in the Euros. Really happy with this performance. There's a lot you can probably pick away from a couple players. As I said, Mittelstadt, Andrić, Gundogan, but I really think a lot to be positive about today. And players like Havertz, who's been kind of integrated to the squad. He's been, you know, there and here and there, depending on his current form. I think if we keep this squad for the next window as well, then I think there's going to be a lot to be positive about.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I'm personally getting dangerously optimistic again.
And there's nothing wrong with being dangerously optimistic. This is the kind of thing that I think a lot of people needed. You needed to see this. It has been such a tough time. I mean, I hate to go back to 2014, but really, aside of that, and I love the Confederations Cup win in 2017. I could talk about that all day. But aside of that moment, that brief moment with a B team that went in and won that tournament, it has been really tough to watch Germany over the years. Whether it was under Yogi Love or the disastrous stint under Hansi Flick, it had beaten people down, including me, where it became a grind to watch the German national team. So for Nagelsmann to come in and rejuvenate this side and make them look like they were into it, that they cared, and that they had an idea of what they wanted to do, and that really the players were bought into what he was selling, I feel great about the whole thing. Of course, there are some things that I'm concerned about. You know, the center back pairing, while I think they looked very good today, I thought there were some signs in the first half that could maybe be a problem later on between those two, but I will take the 2-0 shutout victory anytime. Hey, it's a good way to spend the international break. You might as well win a game while Bayern Munich isn't playing. So, Jack, we're going to close out this post-game show. Any final thoughts from you on the match or what maybe fans could look for coming up on Tuesday when Bayern Munich takes on the Netherlands? I'm sorry, Germany takes a wow. I'm already back in the Bayern mode, huh? Yeah, when Germany takes on the Netherlands.
You know, I think a lot of people are going to be pessimistic about this game, and kind of similar to that game we had against France under Rudi Völler, kind of write it off as a one-off, and, you know, it very well could be, and maybe, you know, this is not the sign of what's to come, but I really hope this is kind of the sign. As you said, it's been a tough years, or many tough years, honestly, as a Germany fan, and probably that lowest point, or one of the low points, was that crushing loss against Spain, and I think it was a qualifier or a friendly a few years ago. We beat like 5-0 or something like that. But that was really kind of where I realized, you know, maybe we are the bad team. And there's been many moments, you know, since where we said, okay, maybe Germany just isn't that good. But, you know, there's not been a ton of Germany games where you can walk away with a big smile recently. So I'm going to take this one and not, you know, think too much about this.
100%. I think that is the right attitude to have. So we will close out the show on that note. Jack, where can our listeners get you? I know they read you on Bavarian Football Works, but where else can they get you? Social media, YouTube? What do you want to promote here?
Yeah, just promote the website. I'm not too active on Twitter or YouTube these days, so just keep reading my stuff and read everybody else's stuff.
Yeah, and eventually, listeners, we will get Jack on to talk about his experience with Bayer Leverkusen this summer. He spent some time, I don't want to say embedded with them, but he was a special guest for some of their preseason activities. So if you're looking for someone to blame for Leverkusen's scorching form all season, it's probably Jack. He brought some of that Canadian luck over to Germany, and Leverkusen has certainly benefited from that. Be sure to check out all of our post-game coverage, our initial analysis, which is already posted, the match awards, the observations, and all of the reactions. We will have everything covered for Germany's big 2-0 win over France. As always, you can get me at the Barrel Blog on Twitter. You can get the site at Bavarian FB Works. You can get this podcast at Bavarian Podcast. You can get Tommy Adams at Tommy Adams 71. You can get I Need No Name at BFWINNN. And you can get Siler at BFW Siler. As I said, keep checking out BavarianFootballWorks.com. We'll have all of the coverage on this match, all of the news on Bayern Munich. So hang with us. Enjoy this match. I know it's a good feeling. So have a couple of beers on me, and we will see you next time.